Today on Wings, crisis pregnancy centers, known to their detractors as fake abortion clinics.
They're not medical offices. They're not governed by medical privacy protections.
There's a river of birds in migration, a nation of women with wings.
Welcome to Wings, a series of news and current affairs programs by and about women around the world, produced and distributed by the Women's International News Gathering Service.
Kate Jessica Raphael was a longtime host of the program Women's Magazine on community radio KPFA in Berkeley, California. She is also the author of several novels, most recently a thriller called The Midwives in Town. Its heroine is a retired midwife who performs pro bono abortions at underground clinics in states where abortion has become a crime. The book anticipated the U.S. Supreme Court decision in the case Dobbs v. Jackson Women's Health Organization. The case originated in Mississippi, but was similar to cases brought by other Republican-dominated states. The Dobbs decision reversed the 49-year precedent established by Roe v. Wade. According to Dobbs, no right to abortion is implied by the U.S. Constitution, and issues of its legality are now turned over to the individual states. As of November 2022, 21 out of 50 U.S. states had banned or were trying to ban most or all abortions, pending appeals in the courts. Here's Kate Jessica Raphael.
Suppose you missed your period. You go to the drugstore and get a home pregnancy test. That second line shows up. It's positive. You weren't ready for this. In the 21st century, most people's next step is a simple Google search. So let's Google, what if I'm pregnant? That search turned up 335 million results. The first one that came up for me was Planned Parenthood, and the second was WebMD. Let's click on WebMD. The first thing it says you should do is call your primary care doctor, or OBGYN. But let's say you're a teenager or young adult without your own insurance, and maybe you don't know that in California, if you're pregnant, you can qualify for emergency Medi-Cal just based on your own income. So let's Google free pregnancy services near me.
We're your shame-free, judgment-free, go-to place for unplanned pregnancy solutions. We know that each person's situation is unique. You will never be judged or pressured by our staff. We are here to listen, answer questions, and support you in any way we can.
That's my friend Anna, looking at a website called realchoices.com. It's a pregnancy resource clinic in Everett, Washington, near where I live. Let's see what services they provide.
I'm looking at options to get pregnancy, testing, abortion, relationship sort of things. And then there are other questions, including, can I order the abortion pill online? Is abortion pill reversal possible? How much does an abortion cost? Then there's a button to make an appointment and a disclaimer that reads, we provide education on abortion and pregnancy options. We do not refer for or perform abortions or financially benefit from any decision you make.
Why do they offer all this abortion information if they don't refer for abortion? This clinic is run by the national network CareNet. CareNet was founded in 1975 as the Christian Action Council. Today, CareNet is one of the largest operators of what's often referred to as fake clinics. But wait, what's a fake clinic?
They are anti-abortion, anti-contraception, anti-LGBTQ organizations. They typically target pregnant people who are seeking reproductive health care, specifically abortion, with deceptive marketing. They aim to intercept pregnant people seeking health care to prevent them from accessing abortion contraception. And a second major prong of their mission is to convert people to evangelical Christianity.
That's Jennifer McKenna, the co-author of a study of what are also known as crisis pregnancy centers, pregnancy help centers, or pregnancy resource centers. Not everyone uses the term fake clinic. That's because some of these facilities actually do offer some medical services. But everyone who has researched them concludes that their primary mission, regardless of what services they provide, is to prevent pregnant people from accessing abortion. Ashley Underwood is director of the research group Equity Forward.
A few years back, we conducted focus group research to figure out what terminology really got that message home of what these centers do. And we landed on anti-abortion centers, because no matter what services these centers purport to provide, they all have the same mission, which is to deter people from accessing abortion care.
In the Bay Area and Seattle, there are dozens of legitimate clinics offering the full range of pregnancy care, including abortion. So though fake clinics do come up in many searches, they're lower down on the list. But in Idaho, where abortion is now illegal, it's a very different story. When I searched for abortion clinics in Boise, the first hit was Planned Parenthood, which has a big red banner saying permanently closed. The second hit is Stanton Healthcare. It's named for Elizabeth Cady Stanton, one of the founders of first wave feminism back in 1848. Let's click on that link and see what they say about themselves.
At Stanton Healthcare in Boise, Idaho, abortion vulnerable women receive compassionate quality care at no cost. The clinic is located right next door to Planned Parenthood on one of the busiest streets in Boise.
That's right. They proudly tell you that they're located next door to the now defunct Planned Parenthood. That's not unusual.
We found 10% of the CPCs in our data pool were mobile clinics. And they use mobile clinics to position next to actual, you know, Planned Parenthood or other reproductive health care providers, and are reportedly physically intercepting people, patients who are trying to get into this to Planned Parenthood for a pregnancy test or a cervical cancer screening or a breast cancer screening or adoption counseling. I mean, they're all things that Planned Parenthood does as well. And CPC personnel often will stop someone heading from the parking lot and say, you know, there's no wait in our mobile clinic. We can give you a free ultrasound right now. You may have to pay in the Planned Parenthood for your ultrasound, et cetera, et cetera. So they're physically intercepting people. And they often use signage that mimics the sign using the same color, the same design of the Planned Parenthood or other women's health clinic that they're trying to intercept people from.
This is not just a problem in red states. This student at the University of California, Riverside, appears in a video entitled Young Folks Share Their Experiences at Fake Clinics, produced by the nonprofit Advocates for Youth.
So after learning about my referrals, the first facility that I called told me that they didn't offer abortion services. And it was very shocking to even be referred there in the first place after my doctor knowing what I wanted. And turns out I wasn't the only student from UCR who had been referred to this facility.
The first crisis pregnancy center in the U.S. was set up in 1967 in Hawaii, where abortion didn't become legal until 1970. I first ran into them in the 1980s, when several appeared in the East Bay. Shireen Shikori is deputy director of Repro Action.
The major chains, you know, Heartbeat International and CareNet, started in the early 80s in that overwhelming swell of anti-abortion organizing, closely aligned with far right, you know, big C conservative organizing that was happening in the 80s, and like skinhead movements. And now, you know, there's at least 2,700 around the country. And worldwide, there's a couple thousand more.
You heard that right. At least 2,700 fake clinics, not including mobile sites, just in the United States. Keep in mind that before the Dobbs ruling, there were fewer than 800 clinics in the U.S. that actually did abortions, and at least 43 have closed their doors since July. So there are nearly four times as many fake clinics in the U.S. as legitimate all-options facilities. Back in the day, they used to make the women who were lured in watch a film called The Silent Scream. It was produced in 1984 and featured gory images and recreations of the supposed abortion process.
Now we can discern the chilling silent scream on the face of this child who is now facing imminent extinction.
But in the 1990s, they got a new tool they found more effective, ultrasound.
they are using this ultrasound technology to try to persuade people to carry to term, you know, draw a little picture with an arrow pointing to your baby. And they're using ultrasounds also to sort of signal medical legitimacy. More than half of the CPCs in our study were using ultrasound technology. Major medical associations, including an American Institute of Ultrasound Medicine, disapproves of use of ultrasound technology for non-medical purposes.
I reached out to CareNet and they didn't want to talk to me. A clinic director in Santa Cruz declined to speak on the record also. But CareNet has a couple mobile locations in Seattle, and one of them's very near me, in a church parking lot. I went to check it out. It's a blue van on a pretty busy intersection with sandwich boards on each corner and a gazebo, presumably to receive people. No one else actually went near it during the half hour I was there. The biggest words on it were free ultrasound, huge green letters. There was also a logo for something called Save the Storks. Save the Storks turns out to be a national organization that furnishes mobile equipment, including ultrasound, to anti-abortion centers. Their website claims that, quote, more than 80% of abortion-minded women choose life after they see their unborn child on an ultrasound. I haven't seen any independent verification of those numbers. But one factor could be that the people performing the ultrasounds give women incorrect information about what they show.
In many cases, we're hearing stories of CPCs providing misinformation about the gestational age of the pregnancy, either telling a pregnant person that it's too late in the pregnancy to access an abortion, or that they have plenty of time and there's no rush, there's no need to make that decision anytime soon. Anti-abortion politicians pass these gestational limits. So you have to, you know, abortion after 8 weeks is 6 weeks or 8 weeks is criminal. So that puts the pressure on a pregnant person to get an ultrasound so that she can determine for sure what her gestational age, try to get in under. And the few abortion providers, you know, remaining in these in states that are, you know, passing these bans are totally backlogged, right? So if you're low income, you don't have a lot of resources, you can't just go to a private doctor and get an ultrasound right away. The crisis pregnancy center in your neighborhood is a lot more visible and a lot more available resource for a free ultrasound. So you're going into this anti-abortion center to get your ultrasound. And we know that they sometimes either mistakenly, because they're not, the people administering the ultrasounds are not licensed or skilled or trained, or intentfully misstating the pregnancy.
So back to that mobile van I went to check out. Like I said, the biggest words on it were free ultrasound. But below that, in smaller type, were free pregnancy testing and STI testing.
The fifth most common service offered by 28% of the CPCs in our study was sexually transmitted infection, STI testing. In many cases, when you looked at the website of the CPC, what they meant by STI testing was a self-assessment questionnaire, which they posted. Not clinical testing. Some may do clinical testing. What we also found is that virtually none made referrals for people who tested positive for an STI, and virtually none provided treatment for people who test positive for an STI. So they're, you know, drawing people in with the offer of a free pregnancy test, but then not helping people to get to prenatal care if they test positive. And they're drawing people in, at least, you know, somewhat over 25% of them in our study are drawing people in, particularly youth. You know, there's the STI testing appears to be particularly targeted at young people.
On Wings, you are listening to a documentary about crisis pregnancy centers, often described as fake abortion clinics. Kate Raphael is the producer and host.
I'm looking at the website for Real Options, run by the Catholic Financed National Network, OBRIA. They have clinics in Oakland, San Jose, Redwood City, and Union City. One of the services listed in their drop-down menu is abortion pill reversal. This is something I never heard of before I started working on this documentary. Nearly all the crisis pregnancy centers or pregnancy resource centers I've looked at offer it. Monica McLemore is professor of nursing and public health at the University of Washington.
Let me explain what a medication abortion is. This is an abortion by pills where you take a dose of mifepristone, which is also called RU486, and then you use misoprostol to complete a medication abortion. Proponents of medication abortion reversal decided that if you flood the body with progesterone and you instruct patients not to take that second medication, the misoprostol, that you could save babies. And there's no evidence to show that actually that's true. We've known for years that RU486 or mifepristone is not effective by itself. We knew that in the original clinical trials, which is why we had to add the misoprostol. When our colleagues and collaborators, Dr. Mitch Creenan and his team, decided to actually run a randomized clinical trial looking at medication abortion reversal and to rigorously test the regimens, they had to stop the clinical trial because what they found was not providing the misoprostol after taking mifepristone actually sent two patients to the emergency department for heavy bleeding. So, and we didn't expect to find that result, but we did. Anyway, this medication abortion reversal was being offered to patients at crisis pregnancy centers. Then they petitioned the State Board of Nursing in California to say that nurses needed to be exposed to this life-saving treatment that was not clinically tested, and that they started teaching nurses at their annual meeting how to provide medication abortion reversal.
No one seems to know how many women actually go to pregnancy resource centers to get abortion pill reversal. But the real purpose, advocates say, is to promote the idea that a lot of people regret their abortions. They also advertise support groups for something called abortion regret syndrome, which Jennifer McKenna calls a totally made-up syndrome.
Almost two-thirds of the CPCs in our study promoted patently false and biased medical claims, like that abortion can cause breast cancer, which is absolutely debunked by the American Cancer Society, and that abortion causes PTSD and depression and other mental health conditions. You know, anti-abortion activists who volunteer at crisis pregnancy centers are trained to curricula developed by the big anti-abortion groups that steer the CPC industry. So Heartbeat International is one, CareNet is another. One of the most jaw-dropping revelations about an online training by Heartbeat International that a journalist participated in undercover was that the trainer instructed people who were being trained as volunteers to tell people that there were cases in which having an abortion made the woman's partner gay.
Okay, so these facilities, or some of them at least, claim to provide services they don't provide and give out information that's misleading or even inaccurate. That's got to be against the law, right? Wrong, says Jennifer McKenna.
They operate without government oversight or any consumer protections because they're nonprofit providers of free services. So they evade accountability under most state consumer protection laws that only govern transactions that have financial implications.
A few years ago, California tried to do something about that. They passed a law proposed by then Attorney General Javier Becerra called the FACT Act. Monica McLemore.
Where restaurants were required to have a letter rating A, B, C, or D in terms of their cleanliness, in terms of, like, the Department of Public Health actually put a letter rating in the window so that customers could know, you know, where they were eating. Well, Attorney General Becerra was hoping to have similar A through D rating sign in the windows of healthcare providers, outpatient clinics, so that people would very rapidly know if they offered evidence-based clinical services, and if they offered the full range of the Food and Drug Administration methods of contraception, family planning, and pregnancy prevention.
But that law was overturned by the U.S. Supreme Court.
The National Family Life Association said it was a violation of their free speech rights to have to identify whether or not they offered clinical services or not.
Most people who go to these clinics aren't even thinking about abortion. In Jennifer McKenna's study, over 80% of the clients were looking for the free goods they advertise, like diapers, strollers, and cribs. But it's not so simple.
The CPC requires the pregnant person who is hoping to get diapers or a bassinet to participate in ideological programming at the Crisis Pregnancy Center first, like Bible study or watching a series of anti-abortion films. And CPCs actually have programs, baby bucks programs, or earn while you learn programs that people have to participate in, earn a certain number of bucks or points before they can access the services or the material goods that they came to the CPC to get.
So obviously these centers have a lot of cash at their disposal. Where does it all come from? Shireen Shakouri.
A recent report came out that somewhere to the tune of $2 billion philanthropic dollars are funneled through crisis pregnancy centers. The mainstream anti-abortion movement is awash with cash, but crisis pregnancy centers, as kind of a pleasant face of their movement, they have this impression that they're helping mommies and babies, even though we know that not to be true, gives them this veneer of legitimacy that is unearned.
But not all the money is philanthropic. Increasingly, crisis pregnancy centers are getting public money under the abstinence-only education provisions put into the welfare reform bill by the Clinton administration. Ashley Underwood, director of Equity Forward.
What I would like to talk about is the use of temporary assistance for needy family funds, also known as TANF, to fund those programs. This practice originated around 2001. At least 9 states used TANF dollars to fund their alternatives to abortion programs at the state. And what we have found is that overwhelmingly, that money is being used towards overhead costs, administration, engaging with professionals to boost their marketing strategies. And very, very little of it is going towards actually providing materials and financial assistance to the people they are helping.
And, says Jennifer McKenna, the centers receiving public funds in general provide fewer services and more misinformation than the ones that don't get public money. As the landscape shifts and abortion becomes less available in more states, the potential for anti-abortion centers to cause harm increases. As my friends and I were looking at sites, often chatbots came up, encouraging us to engage with them. Doing so can be dangerous.
The concern now, post-Dobbs, is that that network is collecting people's digital data with no privacy protections. Again, they're nonprofit providers of free services. They're not medical offices. They're not governed by HIPAA or any other medical privacy protections. People go into a CPC, you know, and see somebody wearing a white coat, and, you know, they fill in a medical, what seems like a medical information form. You know, why wouldn't they think it's protected information? So people are providing all kinds of information about their pregnancy histories, their what they're thinking about doing, what their plans are, use of alcohol, use of, you know, tobacco, use of, you know, other drugs, living circumstances. All of that information is being collected by individual CPCs, whether they're affiliates of one of the big anti-abortion groups or not. They're using data management and client data collection platforms that have been created and are owned and held by Heartbeat International. Individual CPCs collecting this data, they're connected to Heartbeat International's next level data management platform. They plug all that data about an individual person they've just seen into the database, and that information goes to Heartbeat International, which is also a nonprofit, not a medical organization. You know, holding all this sensitive, identifying information about pregnant people in a mega database for the anti-abortion movement at a moment where we have arrived in an abortion surveillance state.
I'm not sure if you are familiar with the Every Mother Matters Act that did pass in a few states.
Ashley Underwood, director of the research group Equity Forward.
This legislation basically set up virtual clinics, and people accessing abortion would have to contact this call center managed by anti-abortion centers before being able to receive their care. And it was a way to be able to track who was receiving abortion and just track their movements and whatnot.
Recently, people have become more aware of the dangers posed by fake clinics. Google and Yelp recently announced new policies to warn people searching for abortion care. In most Google searches I did for abortion clinics near me, fake clinics didn't come up. But that's partly because I live in an area with a lot of legitimate clinics. Shireen Shakouri is both encouraged and skeptical.
I've been really pleased with Yelp's response to the incidence of fake clinics on their site. They actually, in I think 2019, originally created these separate labels so that real abortion providers were labeled as such and fake clinics were labeled as such. Now Yelp is going even further to have like a consumer warning pop up. I'd say I have some measured optimism towards Google. They, in 2019, also promised that they would create separate labels for fake clinics and real providers. And their newest promise is the same exact one that they made back in 2019. They are just republicizing an initiative that they already started doing, but not very effectively.
A number of cities and towns, including San Francisco, have introduced their own ordinances to limit what fake clinics can do in their jurisdictions. Unlike the California law that was struck down a few years ago, these are narrow restrictions on deceptive advertising. But still, the right wing can be expected to fight back. Ultimately, though, Monica McLemore cautions that fake clinics are a symptom of an under-resourced and inadequate healthcare system.
With the fall of the federal role, they're going to start being overrun, just like prenatal providers are going to start being overrun, because I would like to remind the listeners that we have an estimated 4 million births, pregnancies that end in birth in the United States. But we also had an estimated, 800,000 to 900,000 abortions that happened in the United States. So where are those pregnant people who are going to be forced to birth? Where they're going to have to enter an already oversubscribed prenatal care provider situation, where we already have a Black maternal crisis, where Black women are 3 to 4 times more likely to die in pregnancy and childbirth than white people. So they're going to have to decide, now that they got what they want, what's the plan?
Both Repro Action and the Expose Fake Clinics website, maintained by the Abortion Access Front, have databases of fake clinics. Expose Fake Clinics encourages people to post negative reviews of fake clinics on Yelp and Google. Repro Action also wants to see people get out in the streets, picketing and flyering outside of fake clinics.
Some people are ready to get out there and like hold up a sign in front of a fake clinic and, get the hoses sprayed on them, which did happen at one of our protests. Or you can take on educating people, because that's also important.
Thanks to Youth for Action, Ariel Boone, Christina Amistad, Sarah Blanco, Anna Iglitzen, and Daniela Tomei for their help. I'm Kate Raphael.
Kate's latest book, a thriller about underground abortions, is called The Midwives in Town. To hear Wings programs again, use the links from our page, facebook.com/wingsradio, or email us, wings@wings.org. Wings thanks all our supporters, including your local community radio stations, Suzette Cullen and Genevieve Vaughn, whose events can be found through the website maternalgifteconomymovement.org. The Wings sound logo is from Libana's album, A Circle is Cast. I'm Wings series producer Frieda Worden. This is the Women's International News Gathering Service.